It's 1945. World War II is grinding to a halt. Cities lie in ruins. Nations begin to count their dead. In Tokyo, the emperor has spoken. Japan has surrendered. But deep in the Philippine jungle, a lone Japanese soldier tightens his grip on a rusted rifle. For him, the war isn't over, and it won't be for another 29 years. This is the story of Hiro Onoda, the last man standing in a war the world had long since passed. Welcome to History Unpacked. If you enjoy the content, then consider subscribing. We post every week and we welcome any feedback. We hope you enjoy today's episode. Hiro Onoda was born in 1922 in the Wakayama Prefecture of Japan, a country caught in the grip of rising militarism. His father was a traditionalist, and from a young age, Onoda was taught the ideals of loyalty, sacrifice, and obedience to the emperor. By the time he turned 18, Japan was already at war in the Pacific. Onoda enlisted in the Imperial Japanese Army and trained as an intelligence officer. His speciality? Guerrilla warfare and survival behind enemy lines. On December 1944, with the Allied advance pushing ever closer to Japan's doorstep, Onoda received his most important and final assignment. He was to go to Lubang Island in the Philippines and do everything in his power to slow down enemy forces, destroy airstrips, sabotage supplies, and never, under any circumstances, surrender. And so he went. When Onoda landed on Lubang, the situation was already desperate. American forces were retaking the Philippines, and within weeks of his arrival, Lubang was overrun. Most of the Japanese soldiers were either killed or captured. But Onoda, along with three other soldiers, slipped into the dense mountains. From there, they launched sporadic attacks, raiding villages for food and supplies. They lived off the land, always watching, always waiting for the counterattack that would reclaim the island. But it never came. In September 1945, Japan officially surrendered. Newspapers around the world screamed the headlines. Leaflets were dropped over the jungle, announcing the war's end. Planes broadcast messages through loudspeakers, but to Onoda, it was all a trick, enemy propaganda. Japan, he believed, would never surrender, and even if it had, he had been given a direct order, never give up, never die by his own hand, and never leave his post. So he stayed. For the next few years, Onoda and his dwindling group of comrades carried out their orders. They evaded search parties, they clashed with local police, they hid in caves and built shelters out of bamboo. They grew lean and they grew paranoid. To the people of Lubang, these weren't soldiers. They were ghosts. Shadows who stole rice, set fires, and sometimes killed. Onoda believed he was part of a much larger campaign still underway. When farmers or villagers came too close, he assumed they were enemy scouts. There were reports, often exaggerated, of his small band shooting civilians and police officers. In his mind, it was war. By 1954, one of the men, Corporal Shimada, was killed during a skirmish with a search party. Another, Private Akatsu, had surrendered earlier. That left only two, Onoda and Private Kozuka. The jungle was now home, the war still real. The decades passed. Japan rose from the ashes, rebuilt its economy, and embraced peace. The world had moved on, but Onoda hadn't. In 1959, the Japanese government officially declared him dead. His family held a funeral, and yet, on Lubang, he kept watch, patching his uniform, cleaning his rifle, still waiting for the day his unit would be recalled. In 1972, nearly three decades after the war, Onoda and Kozuka burned a rice store near a nearby village. This time, it didn't go unnoticed. Philippine police tracked them down, and in the resulting confrontation, Kazuka was shot and killed. News of the event reached Japan, where a young man named Norio Suzuki read about it with fascination. Suzuki was a wanderer, a self-proclaimed adventurer who said he wanted to find Lieutenant Onoda, a panda, and an abominable snowman in that order. Incredibly, he succeeded. In February 1974, Norio Suzuki trekked into the jungle, found Onoda's hideout, and greeted him with a simple, surreal statement. "Onoda-san, the war is over. Japan has surrendered." But Onoda wouldn't believe it. Not without proof. He told Suzuki that he would not leave his post unless relieved of duty by his superior officer. Suzuki returned to Japan and found that man, Major Taniguchi, now working in a bookstore. The Japanese government agreed to send him to Lebang. Dressed in his old uniform, the former major travelled into the jungle one final time. And there, nearly 30 years after giving the order, he formally relieved Lieutenant Hiro Onoda of duty. On March 10, 1974, Onoda emerged from the jungle. He was 52 years old, still dressed in his tattered uniform, still carrying his sword and rifle, both of which were in working order. He saluted the Philippine authorities and handed over his weapon. The world watched in awe. To some, Onoda was a living relic, a man of incredible discipline and loyalty. To others, he was a symbol of blind obedience, one who had taken lives unnecessarily, long after the war had ended. Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos granted him a pardon for any crimes committed, understanding the unique circumstances of his situation. In Japan, he returned to a media sensation. Crowds lined the streets. Children waved flags. But for Onoda, the homecoming was bittersweet. The country he returned to was unrecognizable. Japan had moved on. The values he clung to, honor, sacrifice, unwavering loyalty, seemed quaint, even embarrassing, to many in the new pacifist nation. Struggling to adapt, he eventually moved to Brazil, where he started a cattle ranch. Years later, he returned to Japan and founded a nature camp for youth, promoting discipline and endurance. Onoda's story captured the imagination of people around the world. Books were written, documentaries produced, and debates raged. Was he a tragic hero, a misguided soldier, or simply a man doing his duty? In his own memoir, No Surrender, My 30-Year War, Onoda explained his actions not as fanaticism, but as fidelity to his orders and the principles he was trained to uphold. He had not wanted to kill, he wrote, but he would not betray his mission. He died in 2014 at the age of 91. Hiro Onoda's story is one of endurance and conviction, but also of isolation, tragedy, and the cost of unquestioning obedience. For nearly three decades, he fought a war that had long ended, clinging to duty in a world that had changed without him. While others tried to forget the past, Onoda lived inside it.